The Gospel of John and chapter 3. John chapter 3. For many, this verse of scripture that we're going to read is very familiar. But I really caution you to still pay attention to it, because it's too easy for it to not sink in and for its wonderful truth to go so quickly over our heads without getting to our heart. So let's read it slowly and thoughtfully in unison together. All right, John chapter 3, and notice there verse 16. The Bible says together, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." John 3:16. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, we do thank you for your great love to us, Heavenly Father. Thank you for giving your Son that we might be saved. Lord, this season in which we remember the price that was paid and how our Savior suffered for us, wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. Oh Lord, I pray that you'd help us to recognize the love that flowed not only from your heart, Father, but from your Son, Jesus. Lord, it is through that precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we can come into your presence. For he has made the way because of the price he paid to take care of our sin, so that we who once were enemies of God are now children of God, washed in the blood. What a blessed truth this is. What a wonderful, wonderful standing. Lord, I pray that you would just touch our hearts this morning with your love in a special way. I ask for your help, Lord. I'm but a frail earthly dweller. But Lord, you are almighty. Help me to just pull back the veil just a bit to see your love. Oh, I depend on you, Lord. And if there's anyone who does not know the Lord Jesus as their Savior, I pray that they would turn from all the other things they've looked to and depended on, be it religion, be it their works, and that they would turn to Jesus alone in simple faith, just as a child could do, simply depending on Jesus to do the saving, all of it. And I pray that today they might call on the Lord Jesus. And Lord, if there is that person, I pray that you would convict them of their sin, that they might see themselves as vile as they are, so that they might recognize their absolute need for your salvation. Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amazing love. What our Savior did for us. It is absolutely, absolutely wonderful. We've read one of the greatest portions of Scripture here this morning. And I'd like to touch on four, basically taking a few words from this verse, and I'd like to bring out four main points. First of all, God so loved. God so loved. Is there any greater declaration? I mean, can there be any greater statement than to simply declare that God loved the world? And of course, it's referring to the people. For God so loved the world of the ungodly, the world of people that he created in his own image, and yet he loves them with an enduring love. It is amazing. Who can exhaust the depths of the love of God? No one. It is boundless. His love can overcome every obstacle. His love is amazing. God loves you. God loves you. You know, it doesn't matter whether you're gathered here in the sanctuary. It doesn't matter whether you're joining us online this morning. God loves you. God loves you. Even though he knows you, and he does know you. He knows how many hairs are on your head right now. When you combed your hair this morning, if you did, there were probably a few hairs that came out, just like mine did. I find them in my sink, all these hairs. Thankful I got plenty of them to spare. But you know what? God knows how many hairs, to the very accurate number. He knows how many hairs are on your head. God knows everything about you far more than just that insignificant detail. He knows your struggles, your battles. He knows you in and out. In fact, he is your loving creator. He made you. He made you. He made you in his image. Genesis tells us about this. Let's turn over there to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. I just want you to see what God says in the beginning as he makes man. Mankind. Genesis chapter 1. Please notice, beginning with verse 24. This is recording the sixth day of creation. So we're jumping into the beginning of that sixth day. Genesis chapter 1, verse 24. The Bible says, "And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind." But that didn't include you and me. Nope. The living creature. Now, we're living creatures, but we're not an animal. And so this is talking about the animals, and it goes on to reiterate cattle and creeping things. The beast of the earth after his kind. Notice God made them to produce after their kind. And also, it says, it was so. God spoke it, and it was so. Verse 25. "And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good." But man is still not yet created. Verse 26. "And God said, let us make man in our image." God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. "And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." Let's skip forward to chapter 2 and verse 4. Chapter 2 and verse 4. "These are the generations of the heavens and the earth." So God is now reviewing. Okay? He's taking a step back. He's rested on the seventh day. We've skipped some verses already, but he's rested, and now God is recounting and giving us some more detail. So verse 4. "These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man." So now we have more detail how mankind was made. And it doesn't say that God just spoke us into existence like he did the cattle. But it says he formed man of the dust of the ground. God got down there, and with his hands, he brought together the formation of the frame of man's body. And it says there a very special thing in the middle of verse 7, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Special. So personal. God created, and we're talking here about the formation of Adam and the human race. You were made special as well, fashioned by God. Consider Psalm 139. Psalm 139, approximately the middle of the Bible, beginning with verse 13. The scripture says, "For thou hast possessed my reins." Psalm 139, verse 13. "Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." This is David, the psalmist, many, many, many generations after Adam. And God, and David observes under the guidance, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God as he pens these words of the scripture. He says, "I will praise thee," verse 14, "for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect," not being completed. "And in thy book all my members were written." In thy book all my members were written, "which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them." Wow. We are special, created in the image of God, given life by the very breath of God. Oof. Into man's nostrils, a living soul, an eternal being. We don't die like the dog. Oh, from man's limited earthly eyes, it might appear like we die just like the dog. But we have an eternal soul, something invisible to these physical eyes, but something very real. That soul and that spirit, the three parts that make up mankind, for we are designed in the image of God, and that is certainly one aspect. Our God is a triune God, and our design is triune. Now, there's certainly something lacking when the spirit and soul are separate from the body. The body becomes very lifeless, although the spirit and soul are very much alive and conscious somewhere. The Bible also teaches us about where the soul and spirit goes after departure from the body, which we call death. But we can see here that our creation is amazing. We are loved. We are loved in our creation. We are loved even in our sin. We are loved. This is remarkable. Consider, I'll just quote it for you from the book of Romans, chapter 5 and verse 8. The Bible says, "But God commendeth," that means a demonstration, God demonstrated his love toward us, "in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In the earlier verses, verses 6 and 7 says, you know, "Scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God gave his life for us when we were sinners. He loved us even in our sin." Now, he didn't love us because of our sin. He loved us in spite of our sin. Sin is a reproach to God. Sin is an awful thing that hurts God. It grieves His heart. When men disregard His commands, when men stubbornly go their own way instead of following the Creator's instructions, yes, it grieves the Creator, our God, but He still loves that creature. Created in His image, He has loved us. He has loved you to Himself. To many who I'm speaking to this morning, you know the Lord Jesus Christ. You know this love. You have personally called on Jesus to save you. You've recognized your sin and you've trusted Jesus. He drew you unto Himself. Jeremiah 31 verse 3 says, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee." God has drawn us to Himself. You know, I can look at my own life. I'm nothing. I'm nothing apart from God's goodness in me, right? I'm special. I'm valuable to Him because He made me. But I'm not some massive treasure because of who I am, but because who God has made me to be. And He has loved me. And He's drawn me to Himself. You know, if you have not trusted Christ as your Savior, you need to understand that even right now, it's no accident, maybe you're joining online, maybe you're watching, maybe it's not anymore March the 7th, 2021, and you're watching this as a recording later on. You know what? God loves you, and right now He's drawing. It's no accident you stumbled across this recording. God cares about you, and God wants you to be His. He's drawing you unto Himself. Yes, you are His because He created you, but He wants to redeem you from sin's damnation. He really does. He cares about you. He wants you near Him because He loves you. Consider Matthew chapter 10, in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 10. Notice verse 29. The scripture says, Jesus says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father." In other words, without your Father's knowledge. "But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows." Jesus says, the Heavenly Father even knows what happens to the sparrows. That little birdie falls to the ground. The Father knows what happened. And He knows so much more. It's a contrast. He cares even about this, and how much more He cares about you, how much more precious you are to the Father. It's a blessing to have a loving Heavenly Father. Oh, He loved you in your creation. He loved you in your sin. He has loved you unto Himself, and He will love you throughout eternity. If you trust the Lord Jesus, if you accept His love, oh friends, you will know the cleansing from sin. You will be freed from the damnation of your sin that you deserve, because Jesus paid that price. And you can have the love of God throughout eternity. Oh, it's a sad thing for those who reject. It's a sad thing for those who would turn away from the loving Savior, from the Creator, who gave His life, who paid the ultimate price. And yet many do. Jesus, in fact, taught that there are many, many, in fact, the majority of people, just understand this, in our the general population of our communities, of our cities, of our country, of our countries, the general population are people who know not the Savior. People in many cases who have rejected the gospel, who have hardened their heart, But, and that's a sad thing, and we need to preach the gospel, and that's what we're doing right now, proclaiming the love of God and the hope there is by those who trust Jesus. But I want to take you to the book of Ephesians and pull back the curtain about some of the plans that God has for his children. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians and chapter 2. Let's notice verse 4. Ephesians 2 and verse 4. The Bible says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins." We already talked about this a little bit. "But he loved us even when we were dead in sins, and hath quickened us." Quickened means to make alive. "He hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved." It's Christ who makes us alive. It's what Christ did. You can't be saved by attending a church. Hopefully, if you attend a church, you'll hear the gospel, but not every church preaches the gospel, frankly. But you can even attend a gospel-preaching church, and that activity doesn't save you. That attendance doesn't save you. That's a place where you can hear the word, and you should be there. God designed the church. But you know what? You need to trust Jesus. It is Christ that is the one who quickens us, who makes us alive. And that's what this says. Dead in sins, verse 5, quickened us together with Christ. Just like Christ rose from the dead, spiritually speaking, we are resurrected from the dead. Born again, John 3 says. Born again. And so verse 6 now here of our passage, Ephesians 2, and it says, "And hath raised us up together." Those of us who are saved. "He raised us up together." That's with Christ. "And made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." We have a place, a standing in heaven with God, with Christ. But now, verse 7 is really why I brought you here. Verse 7, "that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his," together, "kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." In the ages to come. This is not talking, in this case, about right now. I believe it's talking about eternity with God. God has big plans, and one key part of those plans is kindness. Kindness. He says he wants to show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us. That's you. That's me. God has plans to unfold even greater acts of love, even greater demonstrations of kindness. Oh, my friend. You might say, "Wow, that sounds almost too good to be true." Well, the reality is it is true because it's what the Scripture says. It's the promise of God. It's the declaration of God. God so loved the world. Wow. He will love us throughout eternity, those who know the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the second one here, in John 3:16, is "that he gave." God so loved that he gave. He gave. Is there any greater gift than the Lord Jesus Christ? Any greater present that could be given than the spotless Son of God? Jesus left heaven's glory. God the Son, the eternal God, he left heaven's glory. He came to this earth. He lived a sinless life, and he gave himself for us on the cross. His death for us was not an accident. It was why he came. And in God's foreknowledge, the Bible tells us that even before God created the world, he knew that it would go this way. He knew those creatures he made in his own image would rebel. They wouldn't listen because he created them with some independence that they could choose their own way. Even though Adam and Eve were without sin in their creation, God allowed them the provision to make real choices, to choose either to obey and love their God and Creator or to turn away and go their own way. And go their own way they did. And many have since then. In fact, the Bible says all we like sheep have gone astray. All we like sheep have gone astray and turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him, speaking of Jesus, the iniquity of us all. Iniquity is a big word for sin, speaking of stubborn sin, of self-willed sin, wanting to go our own way. And all of our iniquity, all my iniquity, all your iniquity was laid on him. God gave his son. Listen to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. It says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us." It's speaking of God the Father made Jesus to be sin for us who knew no sin. That's Jesus who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. In Jesus, I'm made righteous. I am right with God because of Jesus. Are you? Are you? God gave this precious gift. In John chapter 3, verse 16, but now I'd like you to draw your attention to verse 17. John 3, verse 17. The Bible says, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Are you saved? Have you trusted Jesus? God gave a wonderful gift, his only begotten Son. Notice the scope of this invitation. That whosoever is our next words, point number three, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Whosoever. What an amazing thing. The invitation excludes no one. Whosoever. Friends, it doesn't matter if your name, and of course I refer to his life of corruption and horridness. Doesn't matter if your name was Adolf Hitler. Jesus Christ gave his life for that man. Am I saying that he's saved and in heaven? No, I don't think there's any indication of that. But I will tell you, he was included in the whosoever. The provision was there. Had he turned to God and repented of sin and trusted Jesus. Think of Paul, the apostle, Saul of Tarsus. He tells us in the scripture that he was the chiefest of sinners and that he murdered people. But God had mercy. Oh, whosoever, none excluded, no sinner too great. Romans 10, verse 13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." The provision is for all, no sinner too great. Please turn over to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Notice verse 4, 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4, the Bible says, "Who will have all men to be saved?" This is God's will. "Have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." He gave his life a ransom for all, none excluded from the invitation. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter whether you've been in adultery. It doesn't matter whether you've killed someone. It doesn't matter what you've done or how you've hated. There's a God in heaven who loves you in spite of your sin. And he wants you saved. And if you'll repent of your sin and turn to the Savior, he will save you. It's a miracle. I know it doesn't make human sense, but God has provided this provision. And that's why I am saved. Because I'm a sinner that deserved hell. But because of Jesus, I know I'm headed for heaven. Lastly, the Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 16, that we can have everlasting life if we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Friends, is there any greater future? Any greater future to look forward to than to know that heaven is your home? Life with God forever. Jesus said in John 14, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Isn't it a blessing to know that he's gone, the Lord Jesus, to prepare a place? He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. What a wonderful thing it is. Eternity waits. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 says, But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Do you love God? He's loved you. Do you know God? He knows you. He gave his Son for you. Have you trusted him? Friends, salvation isn't, it's not religious activities. It's not necessarily attending a church faithfully, although if you are saved, you should attend church faithfully, amen? But that's God's design. But the fact of the matter is, those activities aren't what saves. Jesus paid the price on the cross 2,000 years ago. It's an amazing love that he gave his Son for you, that you could be saved, that your sin could be cleansed, and you must trust him. It's so simple that children can be saved. I am thankful that my children have trusted Jesus. In fact, just not too long ago, two of them, in the same week, different day, called on the Lord Jesus Christ to save them. Simple faith. I was 8 years old when I trusted Jesus as my Savior, and I simply recognized I was a sinner. I knew I couldn't save myself. And I believed what the Bible said, even though I didn't know a lot of Scripture. But I could understand that I was a sinner and that God loved me. And Jesus died to pay for my sin on the cross. And I trusted Jesus. And he saved me. What about you, friend? Have you recognized that God loves you? Oh, life can be hard. Life can be painful sometimes. And it might cause us to question, boy, does God love me? Why are things so hard? Well, I'll tell you what, there's questions we can ask, and the Scripture helps us to understand many of them. But even with unanswered questions, I want you to understand that God really does love you. And that if you would turn to him, you will know that love. You will know that love. You know, sometimes you're trying to help an animal, right, that's hurt and maybe needs some attention to a wound it's gotten. And that animal fights you, and that animal maybe will even bite you, right, as you're trying to help them get what they need. Sometimes that's how it is with God. He loves us. He's trying to help us. And, you know, we're battling with, and of course, he's chosen to let sin be in the world. We live in a fallen world. He tells us that. That's why there's pain. That's why there's death. But there's none of that in heaven where he wants to take you. Have you called on Jesus? He's done the work. You must believe. Are you saved? The amazing love of our God. How is it, friend? Have you put your faith in Jesus?
Maybe you're joining online. Friend, today, trust Christ. If you want to know more information, please text us, write to us. There's information below this video in the description on YouTube. Contact us. We'll send you a tract, a little pamphlet that can tell you how you can be saved. It'll take you to scriptures in the Bible. And we'll pray for you. We won't embarrass you. We won't do anything more than simply help you on a personal level. So please, contact us. We do want to be a blessing because you need to know that you know the Savior.